7 on Wednesday night, started prayer. I believe it was Wednesday night. I get lost sometimes on these subjects, but preached about faith, what faith is. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Won't you look with me at verse number 1. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. I have several thoughts regarding this, and I don't know how far and how much longer I'll continue. I started on the definition, or the what is faith, was the title of the sermon. Now, there's several things I talked about last Wednesday. One of them was the description of faith, was the definition of faith. Talked about, just for a moment, the dilemma of faith, the development of faith, the deployment of faith, and the doom of faith. There's some of those I just didn't get to. And tonight, we talked about a couple of those things. I do want to hit hard on the dilemma of faith tonight. I think we're so confused as exactly what faith is. I hear some positive thinkers out there that make statements. I hear some of these preachers today that are very flowery in their speech making, in their religious speeches that they give. And it's more encouragement, more positive thinking messages than it is Bible-based sermons. And so I want to give you a Bible-based sermon on what faith is. And we're going to spend some time here, maybe look at some of the characters of Hebrews chapter number 11. But I want you to read with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of those things not seen." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the Bible, thankful for the truth of the Word of God that are eternal. They're not only true for our generation, but the generations to come. They were true for our grandparents and great-grandparents. And today we can develop conviction from what this book says and have confidence that it is Your very Word. We can have confidence that if we follow it, that we will be a people of faith. And God, the promises that You made for the past generation are for us to claim today. God, help us to be courageous in our day as they were in the past, that we might bring You honor and glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to say to you, first of all, that faith is not an emotion, and your emotion is no gauge of faith. Faith is not an experience, and any experience you've had isn't a testimony to how great a faith that you have. Faith can be referred to in the book of Jude and other places, and even in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, as the sum of Christian beliefs. Sometimes they're regarded as the fundamentals of the faith. I'll not take time to get into that, but most Bible students has an idea of what a fundamental is: the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection, the second coming, the inerrancy and infallibility of the Scriptures, and the preservation of the Word of God are fundamentals to our faith. Salvation by grace through faith, period. Those things are fundamentals to the faith. May I say to you that what the text is talking about here is our practical daily faith. He says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we talked a little bit about that. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says this: "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So faith, may I say to you, isn't something that is attainable or something we're going to be able to accomplish by our physical senses. If we don't walk by sight, that's what faith is. It can't be achieved by what we can feel. It can't be achieved by what we can hear. It can't be achieved by what we can touch. It can't be achieved by what we can taste. You can take the sacraments all you want to, as some people want to call it. Listen to me, that's not going to bring about faith. Let me tell you, I want you to understand that when Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen," that is not a definition of faith, but rather that is a description of faith. Describes faith. One guy wrote that faith is to believe what you do not see The reward of your faith is to eventually see what you have believed. I think that's pretty good. I want you to understand, I described it like this. My dad growing up in a home of 1 to 17 when they had chicken and dumplings. The little ones down the line, the older ones got to eat first. Man, when they dipped into that bowl that had chicken and dumplings in it, you know, faith was a substance of things hoped for. They was hoping they was going to get a dumpling. They was hoping they was going to get a little bit of chicken. And sometimes when they dipped out, it was definitely a substance of things hoped for, and they really didn't get anything, okay? I mean, that's just how it was. And so, but the evidence of those things were not seen. They just trusted when they put the dipper in there, that's what they was going to get. And I want to say to you that faith, it enables us to see what we believe. What faith does. So that's a description of faith right there, but the definition of faith is simple. It's simple. It is simple obedience to the Word of God. What faith is. Being obedient to what God has said, the Word of God, and the will of God for your life. Being obedient in that area. And you say, now, Brother Grant, that's too simple. Well, you can complicate it all you want to, but let me just tell you something. You go through this passage and this chapter, and all through here you're going to see some things. Verse number 4, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith. How did he do it? I want to tell you, God explained to him how they would offer sacrifice. Adam explained to his boys. It says, by faith. Somewhere along the way, God explained, but Cain rebelled against it, and Cain wanted to do it his way. When you want to do things your way, you're not being obedient to the Word of God. When you're obedient to the Word of God, you're doing it God's way, and that is faith. You're going to see through here in the passage, Enoch was translated, he should not see death. He was not found because God translated him. You know what his testimony was? That he pleased God. He did what God told him to do. He lived his life the way God told him to live. He had a life of faith. The Bible says that Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet, faith is the substance of things, the Bible says, of things hoped for, the evidence of those things not seen. God said, there's coming a flood, Noah. You need to build an ark. You know what he did? He moved by faith and built an ark. He was being obedient to what the Word of God said. That's faith, right? That's faith. It wasn't a feeling. It wasn't an emotion he had. It wasn't an experience he had one day out chopping wood. I got news for you. The faith was when he obeyed the Word of God and acted upon it. But not only that, you'll find that Abraham, and when he was called to go to a place, God said, get up and leave. Abraham obeyed. He obeyed the Word of God. That's faith. All through here, you'll find through the Scriptures, in this chapter, those are the heroes of the faith. Whether it was Isaac, when he was offered, he believed that God had spoke to Abraham. Abraham believed God enough to take Isaac because he was just obeying what God told him to do. You'll find that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Jacob, when he was dying by faith, blessed the sons of Joseph and blessed the elder first. You'll find that Moses, by faith, got news for you, went back and was deliverer to the people of God. How did he do that? He did what God told him to do. Faith. Now, that's rehab. That's what faith is. God says, here it is, do it. You can tell me, what did James say? He said, listen, you can tell me your faith all you want to. You can run your mouth and tell me what he said. I'll show you my faith. Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you, God sees our saving faith, does He not? The moment that we respond by obedience to what God has said, we agree with God we're a sinner. The moment we agree with God, get under old-fashioned conviction, say, God, I'm lost and I'm on my way to hell. And the moment that we repent and say, God, save me, we believe what His Word says, whosoever called the name of the Lord shall be saved. God saves us, amen? He sees. Now, I can't see that. I can't see the new birth, but I can experience it, amen? I can't see Brother Ricky's new birth. I couldn't see Brother Troy's new birth. But bless your heart, I want you to know it's still yet real even though I can't see it. But I tell you what people can see, they can see my faith. Huh? Someone gets saved, I tell you what, they'll do things different. They'll live by faith. Now, I don't want to spend time preaching that. That's just rehashing. I got about 20 minutes to try to get through a new sermon, okay? That's review. 10 minutes review. We need to be reminded. Let me tell you here. Let me talk about the dilemma of faith. The dilemma of faith. Now, if I go over, you'll just have to forgive me. The dilemma of faith. I will say to you first, there's somewhat of a misrepresentation of what faith is out there. A misrepresentation. See, I hear positive thinkers say things like this. I want you to listen to this. See if you've ever heard this. I used to hear this and say amen. But the older I've got, the more I realize, Brother John, it's just not so. Here's what positive thinkers say, and a lot of preachers, just big motivators and cheerleaders. When there is fear, there is an absence of faith. When there is faith, there's an absence of fear. I've heard people say that, haven't you? Is that scriptural? That match mandate of Scripture? I don't think so. I don't think it sounds spiritual. And I hear some guys say, "Well, if you had no fear, if you have fear, you don't have faith." I've heard people preach it from the pulpit. Heart pound. That ain't true. That's just not true. They need to read the Bible. Amen. I got news for you. The answer for fear and anxiety is not faith. The answer for fear is love. Huh? Now, look with me at 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. You all stay with me, and I promise you I'm going to try to tell you something tonight. 1 John 4, 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness at the day of judgment." Boldness, that's without, if you're bold, it's without fear. At the day of judgment, that's where I want to be. I want to be without fear at the day of judgment, don't you? "Because as He is, so are we in this world." Now notice this, there is no fear in love. What's the answer for fear? Love. Love. It says, "But perfect love casteth out fear." And it says, "Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Now, let me just tell you, if your child's scared of the dark, I grew up scared of the dark. Believe that? Scared of the dark. I tell you why. I was a little boy. I was probably smaller than Andrew. My parents let me watch The Exorcist. It terrified me. I was scared to death. I was afraid every moment I laid down, my head was going to spin around. I was going to vomit across the room. I was scared. I mean, I really was. Scared me to death. And I still don't even watch that movie yet today because I still get scared. I mean, I'm almost phobia of a movie like that. So I want you to understand, I was scared to death. And I couldn't tell you how many times I'd lay down, I'd get in there scared, start crying. My dad hollered, "Shut up, be brave." That's my dad's form of encouragement. "Go to sleep, you sissy." Huh? Right? You know my dad. That was his form of encouragement. I know where you get it from now, Dad. And but that was his form of encouragement. Listen, I got news for you. That don't help a child that when they're scared, death, the dark, to holler, "Be brave." I tell you what'll help. Someone go in there, need to sleep with them. Amen. You saw a preacher that ain't right. You shouldn't ever do that. I don't believe you shouldn't ever let them start sleeping in your bed. But you can go in there and help them out. You can just go in there and lay your hand on them, even sleep in the floor, as long as they know that you're there and your presence is there, and that by your presence you're demonstrating your love, they can sleep peacefully. You know what they did? They didn't want me to do that, so you know what I did? I snuck the German Shepherd in, amen. All was good until he got up to go to the toilet to get a drink, and then I got scared again. But I want to tell you, as long as I knew the dog was there, all was well. All right? You see, that dog loved me, amen. I got news for I knew that dog, nothing was going to get me if it had come through that big German Shepherd first. And so what I'm saying, listen to me, the Bible says there is no fear in love. I remember my mom was sick, and I was talking to her about the Scripture, sitting in her hospital bed, and talking about fear of dying and different things. And I told her, "Mommy," I said, "the faith is not the answer for fear. Love is the answer. How much do you love the Lord Jesus? That's the answer. If you love Him, He'll do away with fear." Huh? Heaven will look sweeter. The more you love Him, the sweeter heaven gets. The answer for fear is love, not faith. We say some things that there's a dilemma here that's going on in the world. Listen, I want you to understand what love will compel us to face our danger. I want to tell you what. You see a woman scared to death of a big dog, and you let that dog start to chew on one of her babies and see if she don't run out and beat that thing with a stick. Amen. You watch a guy be out in the woods, he may be terrified of a snake, but he looks and sees one coiled up getting ready to strike his child, he'll take off running right at that snake. Amen? You watch somebody that's scared of the water, see their baby fall in the pool, you'll see them run and jump straight in. There's no fear. Let me tell you why. Because it's love. Love will conquer that boundary. Love will get you over the hump of fear. Now you say, when it comes to ministry, what will motivate us? Does it take great faith? Well, I want you to look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. I like what the Apostle Paul said. There's a lot that he says here. He speaks, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to happen to everyone. We're going to receive things done in this body according to that He's done, whether it be good or bad. And he said, knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing what's coming ahead, we persuade men, as we fear that greatly. But listen to me. What motivates us beyond the fear, concern where others are going? Two motives there for winning others is knowing the judgment that's coming. But I tell you what the other great motive is. Because people out there, they're going to reject you. People are going to mistreat you. People are not going to accept you. People are not going to like you. Let me tell you what is the motivation for ministry is not great faith. But the Bible says in verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ will make us conquer those fears and launch out and do things we never thought we could possibly do. You see, I want you to understand the answer for fear is not faith, but rather it's love in the Lord Jesus. In essence, it is greater faith in Him, yes, to some degree, but a greater love for Him will make you and enable you to do things you never thought that you would do. You see, let me tell you another dilemma with faith that's going on in our culture. Some people have the idea that if you show fear, somehow that makes you weak. Makes you weak. Let me say to you, that just shows that you're human. Huh? Now, I want to tell you, men, listen, I may pick on people who wear pink. Huh? But there ain't nothing. Some people are afraid that if they show a little bit of fear, that somehow that makes them look like a sissy. I got news for you. That's not the case at all. It makes you human. It doesn't make you less spiritual. I show you through the Word of God people that their life was marked by fear and yet they carried on for God. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 7. Paul wrote and said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8, for we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. That word perplexed means that you cannot see an end or a way out. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You see, Paul understood that there's times he felt down and out. There's times that he couldn't see a way out. There were times, but now Paul didn't say, I'm going to quit. But I want to tell you, there were some low points in Paul's life. There were times he even despaired of life itself. You'll find that Paul had some troubles along the way. So there is, I want you to see this, the dilemma of faith. No doubt, there is a misrepresentation of what it is. But I want you to notice the demonstration of faith tonight. The demonstration of faith. I want you to look with me in the book of Acts chapter number 18. Some of you was in Sunday school class. You'll remember some of this. Acts chapter number 18. Let me just tell you what happens here. The Apostle Paul leaves Athens, a very religious city, goes to the city of Corinth. The city of Corinth is a very wicked, ungodly culture. It's a very pagan culture. It's a very immoral culture. To call somebody a Corinthian that day was basically to call someone a dirty word. They were known for their vulgarity, known for just the temple prostitutes. They worshipped the many different pagan gods like Aphrodite, and they worshipped by sexual practices that they did. So it's a very ungodly culture Paul goes to, starts preaching. Listen, I don't think Paul really felt comfortable there, but as he's there, he's made some friends. He made friends out of Aquila and Priscilla. They made tents like he did. He wins them to the Lord. He's there for some time. You'll find that Timothy and Silas come to him, and friends from afar come. And you'll find that brought a great encouragement to the Apostle Paul. He had some devoted friends. But not only did he have there, you'll find he had some opposition there. Because the Bible tells us about the Apostle Paul there at Corinth. Let me just tell you some things that happened. You'll find that they basically run him out of the synagogue. And he got mad and said, I'll not come preach to you all anymore. I'll just go to the Gentiles. And we'll tell you what they did. There was a guy there that owned a house right next to the synagogue. And the Apostle Paul started meeting there in that house and having church services. and preaching, and it got to growing. Even the leader of the synagogue got saved by the grace of God. But some of those Jews got stirred up, and what they did, they went and brought an accusation against the leaders, and they brought him to be judged. And ultimately what happened where God delivered them and the opposition was defeated. So the opposition was defeated because the judge says, listen, if this is a matter of Roman law, I'll judge it. But if it's a matter about practices that you Jews observe, he said, I have no business judging this thing. Amen? And so there were people there that wanted to have Paul run out of the city on the rail. There were people there that probably wanted to slay the Apostle Paul. He felt this pressure day in, day out. And people say, no, Paul wasn't weak like that. Paul didn't get scared. Paul entered the pulpit every time with fire and grit and looked them in the eyeball and called a spade. The Apostle Paul got up and he ranted and he railed against sin and he challenged the Pharisees unapologetically from the pulpit every time he got up there in Corinth. Really? You read the same Bible I've read? Because you're reading 1 Corinthians. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Who was he writing to? Those people he went there and preached to. Notice what Paul said. Almost apologetic about some things. And I, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom declaring in you the testimony of God. He wasn't impressive in his preaching. But I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I didn't try to bring some deep theological truth. I just told you, I just stayed with the basics. For I was with you in what? In weakness. And in fear and much trembling. See that? I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I'm speaking of the demonstration of faith. Paul's there in weakness. He's there in fear. He's there trembling. But he is demonstrating true faith. He's being obedient to what God has called him to do. Now these folks that come around and say, well, that listen to me, that if there is faith, there's an absence of fear. What do you say about the Apostle Paul in Corinth? Because he was not comfortable there. In fact, it was so much that the Lord Jesus had to appear to Paul at Corinth and encourage him and say, be not afraid, Paul. Let me tell you why. Because he was demonstrating his faith and he was scared. He says, but speak. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul a little bit hesitant about speaking? Apparently was, because Jesus said, but speak and hold not thy peace. He said, for I'm with thee. I'm right here with you. I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. You know what Paul was worried about? I'll tell you what he was worried about. Somebody was going to get to him. He was human. And guess what? He was had obedient faith, but he was scared. And see, a lot of people say, well, I'd do this for the Lord. I'd do that, but there's just so many questions and I have so many fears and anxieties. Well, if that's what hinders you from doing anything for God, you'll never do anything for God. Amen. There'll never be absolute peace. And you'll find that there's demonstration of this faith. Here he was. He said, for I have much people in this city. Well, thank God for God's sovereignty. God knew what was going on. I said he had many people ripe hanging from the tree, and God said, Paul, I've got them here. You just go pick them. Huh? Man, I got news for you. God bless the ministry of the Apostle Paul there. But you know what? He had obedient faith. He was being obedient to where God wanted him to be. And you'll find the demonstration of his faith was through much anxiety and fear. There was fear, but there was faith. There was weakness, but there was meekness. There was trembling, but there was trust. And I want to say this to you in conclusion. Number three is this. I want you to notice the application of faith. The application of faith, applying faith to our life, cannot be achieved by our senses. The Bible makes it very clear we walk by faith and not by sight. That means obedience to what God has told us. We don't go by what we know. We go by what God has said. Huh? Big difference. Man, we can get quiet or I can preach on longer. You see, I want you to understand that It cannot be achieved by our senses. It can't be by anything physically we can do. It can't be achieved by logic. It can't be achieved by reasoning. That's what faith is. You see, I got news for you. If you say, "Well, I'll do this, but I got to get all the rationale for this. I got to think this thing through completely." You can think it through. Now, God's not telling us to not think things through. Now, listen to me. He's not saying that. But sometimes I got news for you. You can just keep going over and over. You can have all the facts here. Have all the facts. You can lay them out before you. You can know it, and you can look at it and say, "This doesn't make sense. I can't believe God would have me do this." I got news for you. God, if you're going to follow Him by faith, there's a lot of things He's going to have you do that is not going to make sense to everybody else around you. Do you think it made sense to Abraham's family for him to leave home? No. Do you think it made sense for anybody that day that David said, "I'll go slay Goliath"? No. Do you think, you go through the Scriptures and many times, do you think it made sense for the Apostle Paul to answer the Macedonian call? He already had plans. People say, "But preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying this, you hear me today, that there's a big difference between theory and discussion, and the Apostle Paul was one. He said, "When the facts are there, when God has made it very clear to me what His will is, that's what I'm going to do. What God wants for me to do, that's what I'm going to do by faith." And then, I want you, for there to be an application of faith, I want you to think about this. It's hard for me to really believe that there'll be fear, or faith can exist without fear. Man, some of you are looking at me funny. I have a hard time believing that faith can exist without fear. We're to walk by sight? No, walk by faith. Does that mean I know what's below me when I take my next step? Huh? I'm not here. Sometimes you walk by faith and not by sight. You don't know where the road's going. That's scary. You don't know what's below you on the next step. That's scary. Huh? You don't know where that road leads. That's scary. Sometimes, I'm going to tell you, it's fearful to follow by faith. But you still yet follow God where God would have you go. I got news. There must be some fear. There must be some reservation in order for it to truly be by faith. There must be some anxieties that you have for it to truly be by faith. There's got to be some unanswered questions for you to follow God completely if it's going to be by faith. If there was no reservation, if there were no fears, if there were no anxieties, I want to say to you, you're not walking by faith. You're walking by sight. God's people ought to do better than that. That's what the lost world does. Sometimes, may I say to you, when you walk by sight, things change. Even your best plans can come to naught. I'm saying to you, when you surrender to follow God by faith, you know what you do? You hand God a blank check with your life, and you don't tell Him what the amount is. You say, "God, whatever you write in the little box is what I'll give." That's what faith is. You go for far and as long as God wants you to. See, the application of faith was in your obedience to the will of God and the Word of God in spite of your fears, in spite of your anxieties, in spite of your questions, in spite of your perplexity. For faith to exist, there must be a dilemma. That dilemma is, am I going to walk by sight? Am I going to walk by faith? And if you choose the path of faith, you don't know the next step, you don't know where the path goes. And you don't know where the road ends. You just follow. Father, we thank You for the Word of God tonight. I pray that You bless this message. You'd speak to us clearly. God, I'm so thankful, God, for the lessons in the Word of God. Lord, there's answers here. And God, I pray this message has been a help. I've not come to preach, to rebuke not one single soul, but to be an encouragement to this congregation. These people, God, You give me to pastor. These people I love. And I thank You and I cherish the ability and the opportunity be able to stand and preach to them. Maybe someone here tonight is facing the dilemma. There's something that God is speaking to them about. They've been using excuses, "Well, I just don't know," for way too long. They've been using the excuses of reason and logic for way too long. God, if the will of God is clear to that individual tonight, may they surrender and say, "God, I follow You. And I'll trust by faith that You know what's best." I pray that You would do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.